This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Today, I'd like to welcome to the program Fraser Rice, producer, writer, author, podcast host, Marvel Comics and movie fan. Welcome.
Jack of all trades, master of none. That's me.
I think that's a little bit of everybody.
It really is. I mean, I think most of us who grew up consuming a lot of culture, we're trying to figure out how to use it. And so you end up trying to put it in your careers in some ways. And then, you know, you get frustrated with that. So you try to have an outlet somewhere.
Which is awesome to have.
Yeah, well, it's if you don't have it, you go crazy. So, and it's nice when you're just getting inundated with a lot of data and images and things like that to be able to, you know, look back into kinder, gentler times and make sense of it.
Yeah, essentially a nice brain dump that you can kind of go back and revisit later.
That's for sure.
So, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself so that they can know a little bit about you?
Sure. So I'm in my mid-40s, and I grew up a nerd and sort of kept with it. I ended up becoming a lawyer and a banker, and so I do a lot of work advising wealthy people about their taxes and finances and things like that. At the same time, I kept it up as far as a lot of creative ventures. I had a radio show in high school and a TV show in college, and I really liked all of that. I worked in politics right out of college, and so I got to sort of scratch that itch professionally a little bit, but I wanted to make some more money, and I went sort of the law school route and then ultimately to banking. But I never really lost the sort of media and cultural components that I really liked, and I've been just trying to figure out how to involve that more in my career and also just to enjoy the things that I like reading and doing. So what the forms that have taken over the last few years, I've been involved with a small graphic novel called Death Cat that I co-wrote with a good friend of mine. That led to hopefully the near completion of a 100-page graphic novel called Stay Alive that we're hoping to put out probably in the spring. We have a cool artist who has done some work for Marvel and DC named Stephen Baskerville, and he's based in Bath, England, and it's been just one of the coolest experiences ever. I do podcasting, so I interview a lot of artists, entrepreneurs, experts, things like that, and hear their story. Most recently, I talked to a woman named Story Jones, who has a website that helps people navigate the divorce process, and the next one is going to be with a fellow by the name of John Farr, who has presided over the rebirth of the Bedford Village Playhouse, which is an old movie theater. So that's going to be really neat. And I grew up watching a lot of movies there. So it's going to be fun to hear how the movie theater, which went down and went out of business, has kind of come back to be a real cultural center in the town. What else have I done? I just came out with my first book, Wealth Actually, in August, which is in the wealth management space, which is my day job. And so I just keep it going.
Yeah, it's definitely important to keep busy, and it sounds like you do that.
Well, it's just fun. You know, it's one thing to keep busy when it's slavery or drudgery and that type of thing. That's not great. But when you're doing things that you enjoy and you're part of a creative process, it's really neat. And, you know, when you're able to have the resources to be able to do certain things and to sort of indulge yourself, it's a lot of fun.
So what are some of your favorite roles that you currently play, whether it's being the writer or the producer of the graphic novels or being a podcast host yourself?
You know what? I like little parts about all of it. I think I'm naturally better at the writing end of things. I have to do it all the time in the day job. And I think, you know, widely read and lots of different influences. And so I like the writing component. I think the business aspect of me, I think I'm useful in terms of getting projects up and running and moving forward and hopefully done. So the production part is cool. I'm the co-producer of a horror movie actually called The Restaurant, which is pretty neat. It's funny that a friend of mine was directing it, and he was trying to raise some money and was asking me how to go about that. And so I was useful, and he said, "Would you like to be a part of it?" And I said, "Sure, but I'll only do it if I'm the first person killed." So I ended up on the if you go into the trailer for the restaurant, which is on YouTube, and it's hopefully coming out in March. Got a deal for it done. I'm in a chair about to be gored by demons. And so that was really fun. Kind of my first IMDb credit. It was great. But you know what? I do things that I enjoy doing, and I just make a point of carving out time during the day, and it keeps my pilot light on, and I like it. And you never know where it's going to lead.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Like doing this, I've gotten to meet a lot of amazing people just through doing a podcast and just talking about things that I enjoy that other people enjoy as well. And so it's definitely, you know, about scratching that itch and kind of discovering what you like to do and doing trying a little bit of everything.
Well, and the cultural stuff's interesting too. I it's amazing. You know, I play golf and do all sorts of other things, but you know, if you're able to connect with people on the cultural part, there's a real connection that happens that is powerful, and it gets things done. I was on Twitter, and there's a pretty famous billionaire named Cliff Asness who has a Twitter feed, and we connected over Jack Kirby art, of which he is a huge fan, and I am too. And you know, we're not friends. We've never really even met, but we do share something, and it's cool. It's, you know, and you know, this is a guy that wouldn't know me from Adam, and it's just a nice thing to share, even a very minor way.
Yeah, it's always fun discovering who you end up bumping into in just random conversation, whether it's through social media or just in other means.
It's actually frightening. I think just between, you know, people from past lives that show up in your orbits through social media, but then also, you know, in the Twitterverse, you know, depending on what you like or don't like, and these things catch up to you for better or worse. And at least in my case, it's been for better. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, definitely for better. So you mentioned the graphic novels. What's been one of the fun challenges and interesting aspects to being involved with that world?
So the graphic novel part, just a little bit about the process. So my buddy Jim Harbison and I, both big culture geeks, comics, horror movies, action films, crazy stuff going, you know, back to the mid-80s and even beforehand. And so we always liked writing together, had been since high school in some ways, and we drifted apart. Not sort of socially, but just didn't have time to do it. And then we rekindled it about 5 or 6 years ago and have had multiple projects. So one challenge is he lives in Watertown, New York. I live in Manhattan, and you know, a lot of the writing we do is over the phone, and that's a strange process. Every once in a while we'll get together in person, and but it seems to actually be more productive over the phone, but it is tricky because you're sort of talking and you have to record things and write them down. And at the same time, you have to try to, you know, sort of see what the other guy's thinking. And that doesn't always work. And if you have disagreements and if that collaborative process isn't that smooth, which at times it isn't, it can get very disjointed. So that was challenge one. Challenge two was finding an artist, and especially for the 100-page one, to go backwards. So we started this 6-page one called Death Cat, which is about a palliative care cat that curls up next to the people who are going to die next in a nursing home, which I thought was it's a real life thing. Bingo the cat, I think, was down in Florida, and we thought we could have a tiny little horror concept around it. So we did, and it's funny, and we put it out, and we were trolling around looking for artists. And you know, I went to Comic-Con in New York, and one of the both great and kind of sad things is that in the sort of lower level, there are whole football fields full of the most talented people you've ever seen. and they're not that expensive. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, but I'm looking around there and I couldn't find anybody who could draw a cat well. And I said, well, that's a problem because it's called Death Cat. Cat needs to look good. So anyway, we're on the internet at DeviantArt, and we found a guy, Stephen Baskerville, who drew cats well. So we talked to him, and I should say we didn't even talk to him. I've never spoken to him over the phone. And he got it, and we hired him, and it came out well. We'd send things. They'd come back. We might have a couple minor changes, but not really. And it's been the coolest thing. So we got that done and out there, and you know, Jim and I have had some screenplays and other writing that we try to figure out what medium to put them in. And, you know, the movie industry is a whole another Rubik's Cube to try to solve.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, you know, we've got this one thing that why don't we try to do a larger graphic novel? And so it's taken over a year. It's 100 pages and it's hard. And, you know, Steve over in Bath, England's got to figure out how to do it. But slowly but surely, it's coming along, and we're about 90% done with it. So we should be ready to go. You know, and it's the type of thing. We had this big long script. We got it over to Steve, and he just sort of whips things up, and the pages come back. And you know, Jim and I are picky, and we don't have much to pick on. He does a super job, and one of the great things is that he does the pencils, he does the inks, he does the lettering, and he does the colors, which that short circuits the time frame of production by a ton. It also makes it easier for us to manage. And so we're very lucky to have met him. Again, I've never talked to him over the phone, and it's he's in Bath, England. And I look at it and go, what a miracle. And that's the internet for you. So then part three, the difficulty is we're going to have this finished product, and we're looking around for a publisher to put it out. And there's lots of different ways you can do that. You can sort of crowdsource a production deal. You can, you know, send it out to a bunch of people and hope it works. And we've gone a bunch of different ways, and we're sort of in the infancy, but we have some interest from some folks. So we're trying to figure out how to manage that and what makes sense. But, you know, the goal is let's get this thing published and let's see if we can get it out. And just by doing that, you've done more than 99% of people who've ever dreamt of putting a comic book or a graphic novel out have done.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting as far as like how you drew it from a six page story and expanded upon it and created all that, and plus having, you know, an all-in-one package with a guy.
That was a miracle, because we were really thinking about, you know, how are we going to do this, and we got to find a letterer, and, you know, somebody's going to be in California and somebody's going to be in New York, and how do you get them all to do all that? Steve was we got very, very lucky on that front. So, and it's what's made it a really, really cool experience. I'm psyched, and it's coming out really well. The story behind Stay Alive, which is the 100 page one, is we have a Lindsay Lohan type character whose sort of media career is falling apart. And she gets on a couple of bad lists as it relates to this shadowy internet-based serial killer cult. And in order to fight back at that, she joins a reality TV show, and she has to fight her way out of a paper bag as it relates to staying away from one of the major serial killers in California. And while that doesn't sound exactly funny, we mix a lot of horror and comedy and gore and all that fun stuff. So we think that we think we've got something that's it's a lot of fun. The art is so good that I feel really good about it. I think the concept is kind of fun and cagey, and let's see how it turns out.
Yeah, definitely be interested to see how that looks when it comes out. So you'll have to let us know.
Absolutely.
So, since we can clearly tell you have a love of comics and pop culture, what are some of your favorite Marvel comic book characters that you relate to or that you just enjoyed?
So when I grew up, so I was about 7 when the Incredible Hulk TV show was out, Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby and all that. And so I really gravitated toward that. I loved it. I was running around the house carrying on. I'm sure it drove my parents nuts. you know, I was lifting blocks and roaring and doing all that. So I liked the Hulk a lot. And then as, you know, sort of my palate expanded a little bit, I became a big Spider-Man fan. And then I liked Doctor Strange a lot. I had trouble warming up to the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. I liked the villains a lot more than the heroes in that. Daredevil, I never quite got into until kind of the Frank Miller years. I think Ground Zero was sort of it was really the Hulk, and then, you know, followed quickly by Spider-Man. Spider-Man, who I think has got one of the real great rogues, rogue galleries in comics. And so, you know, his villains are good, too.
Yeah, he's essentially like the Batman of the Marvel Universe in the sense that he's got this awesome group of villains that he gets to fight.
Yeah, and so that's where, you know, you get somebody like Iron Man, who I think there's a lot that's great about that, and Tony Stark and alcoholism, and he's a flawed guy and all that, but his villains are just lame. The Mandarin's okay, and Crimson Dynamo and Obadiah Stane and a few others, but after that, it kind of the blood just drains from the corpse, and Daredevil suffered from that too until later on, and even I don't know, and so you're sort of left with some dim people. And at the same time, I'm 10, and if I'm making judgments about it, if people were older and reading that, I'm sure they had issues. So and the strange part, it's funny because like the Fantastic Four, for instance, I had trouble getting into, one thing I do credit the old 60s Marvel cartoons, the old stop motion ones that were basically the comics with things veering around and with groovy soundtracks and things like that. Those were great. And it's funny that, you know, my imagination for some reason really got activated. I loved it. And, the Captain Americas and the Thors and Namor and et cetera, it really worked. But the Fantastic Four, which is really kind of ground zero for all that, I liked the art, and I liked Galactus and some of the other villains, but I got kind of bored with the Big Four and kind of rooted for Doctor Doom to win a lot.
Yeah, I kind of was in the same boat with them. I didn't really jump on that bandwagon. It was pretty much like Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Hulk and Captain America, like mostly the Avengers, you know, so.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I like the fact that the movies have come out and have really introduced a lot of those old storylines. I think that's neat. I'm interested in myself to see, now that we've kind of gotten past sort of Marvel, it's called Phase One, with a lot of the storylines and a lot of the old characters, and it sort of hit me at a time when I wasn't really following comics as much. I'll be interested to see whether my interest in the movies continues as well as it had in the past.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they draw attention after they end most of the contracts with the old guard with Endgame.
Right. Robert Downey Jr., I mean, at a certain point, you know, he wants to do other stuff. So it gets down to sort of that the Spider-Man thing. And, you know, how do you bring Miles Morales in? And where does that fit into things? And that's probably a 5 years from now issue. But I don't know. We'll see. That's why they write the movies.
Yep. Make the big bucks. So what are some other projects that you have coming up, aside from the graphic novel and whatnot?
Yeah. So the graphic novel, talked about that, the movie, The Restaurant, that's coming out. That's going to be, in DVD in March. That's going to be, it's been shot. It's ready to go. A lot of fun. The acting's really good. Basically, what happens in The Restaurant is a restaurant owner in New York, which is about the most competitive business environment you could possibly have, in the most competitive business you could possibly have, ends up selling his soul to demons in order for his restaurant to succeed. And so we that's the premise of the movie. We got some great actors in it. Eric Ford Holvinsky and Chris Max are the main driving forces behind it. And I think it turned out really well. So I'm excited for that to come out. Let's see, what else have I got on my plate? Those are sort of the big sort of super creative ones. Again, my book, Wealth Actually, which isn't not really comic book material, but it was a lot of fun to write, and hopefully, you know, fun and a little bit glib and with some funny anecdotes. That came out in August, and that's on Amazon right now, amongst other, you know, all the other places you get books. And it's been exciting. I've gone out and had to do a lot of podcasts and media and things like that, and so that's been a lot of fun.
So how can the listeners get a hold of you if they'd like to find out more about you and your books and whatnot?
Great. So you can find out about me a couple of different ways, or lots of different ways. So I have a website, FraserRice.com, and that's FraserRice.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Fraser Rice. And Wealth Actually, which is the book around the wealth management aspect, that has its own site. That's at wealthactually.com. And any of those types of things, if you Google Fraser Rice, there aren't many of them around. So you'll be able to find me pretty quickly.
Yeah, very, very unique name. Unlike if you Google my name, there's like 50.
Well, and the crazy part, too. So when my parents were naming me, it was down to two. There was Fraser, which is odd enough. But then the other one, which was another family name, was Persifer. And if I had been named Persifer, I'd have ended up being a very tough kid. certainly Percy for short, or I may have gone straight to the middle name. But the end note on it is that Persifer, my sister ended up using the name as the name of her dress line. So she started a dress business that's been going strong for 7 years, and it's called Persifer. So out of all the craziness, sometimes you get some good stuff.
That's definitely awesome that family is able to still use a family idea.
Yeah, well, at least it's something. It isn't Rockefeller or Carnegie, unfortunately. So,
but it could be.
Yeah, maybe. If I sell some screenplays or do some more comics, maybe we get toward that.
So, well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come hang out with us here on Altered Geek and kind of tell everybody what you're working on and to promote your upcoming movie and graphic novel.
Well, thanks for having me. And, you know, when everything comes out, I'd love to hear what you think about it. And, you know, when you've got some stuff ready to roll, let me know. You can be on my podcast.
Definitely, definitely. So thank you again. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.